This episode of the podcast is brought to you by The Tent Guy and Nitro, Oscar's Breakfast Burgers and Brews in Barbersville, and Joe Holland in South Charleston.
Hey, it's John Wheeler. You may know me as
The Tent Guy.
The Tent Guy?
The Tent Guy?
You know, The Tent Guy.
Just because the weather's changing doesn't mean that we are. We just hit over 1,000 cars this year, and we thank everybody for their support.
Tent still works the same in fall and winter as it does in the summer. And with winter right around the corner, keep your energy costs down by tinting the windows on your house or business. Call today and blitz The Tent Guy with your service. 304-380-2935. Visit The Tent Guy Nitro off Michigan Avenue, a quarter mile from the bridge.
West Virginia, this fall, you have a choice. You can choose a restaurant with a few draft beer selections and the same old tired beers. Or you can choose Oscar's Breakfast Burgers and Brews, a restaurant with 28 craft beers on tap and nearly 100 more different cans and bottles with new additions every week. Let your voice be heard and choose Oscar's Breakfast Burgers and Brews, River Place Plaza in Barbersville, online at oscarsbbb.com. Oscar's Breakfast Burgers and Brews is responsible for the content of this message.
Providing you extensive coverage with a different attitude.
Not your boring, everyday, run-of-the-mill high school sports show.
This is the High School Blitz with your host, Brandon Lowe, and his, due to a conflict of interest, not his official co-host, but an official contributor, the Gazette Mail's Ryan Pritt. Now to the guys.
All right, it's another edition of the High School Blitz podcast. I'm your host, Brandon Lowe, and joined in studio again, not by my co-host, but contributor. Am I saying that right?
Contributor. Like a George Strait song.
Yeah, contributor. One of those. And my best friend on the show due to legal reasons, he is Ryan Pritt, Gazette Mail. Ryan, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm relaxed, man. As you can tell over here, got the feet propped up, just kind of chilling, drinking a Red Bull.
Yeah.
Good day.
I liked your style.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you can't say Red Bull anymore without people saying, well, that's Dana Holgerson drink, right?
You know how you like just tokenly tell people to make themselves at home?
Yeah.
I just did that right here in your studio. So it's a good time.
Well, good to have you in here, my friend, and good talking high school football. Had another good week. We'll recap week 8. And of course, we got a lot of really big matchups coming up here in week 9 as well.
And yeah, this week looks great. Last week was great, too.
Yeah, there was as we talked about with this pandemic and COVID, we've had some different matchups throughout the year because of scheduling situations with counties being in different colors and all those rules. So you had a lot of really good football games because of that. And then it's kind of weird, especially in Kanawha County, because they'll go, okay, we're going to play a couple teams over here, and then we'll go back and play some NSAC games. Especially when Kanawha County was able to play, they called it the Kanawha County bubble, because you had those 3 weeks of games already scheduled ahead of time because of the color code situation. So we just had a lot of really good matchups, and really we've had some parity too.
A lot of parity. Kind of the same thing you're seeing in college football, and you wonder how much of it's for the same reasons with COVID kind of, you know, limiting what teams were able to do in preparation for the season. So it's been, you know, we talk about this every year. I mean, last year felt like a wild ride through the season. This year has been absolutely out of control, though.
Yeah, and of course, we also want to reveal the SSAC football ratings and kind of just real quickly give our take. Again, it's a point system. You know, it's not necessarily, we always have to tell people that. You always get the, well, this team's better than this team, and this team beat. So it's, you know, you always have to tell people, hey, calm down. You know, it's a different formula. It's not like the AP Top 25.
Nobody's voting on this,
right.
Trust me.
Exactly. So let's start there, Ryan. Class AAA at the top there. My Black Eagles, South Charleston, sitting at 4-0. Seeing number one in front of Cabell Midland, who's sitting at 2, Martinsburg 3, Muswellbrook 4, and William Park 5. That's your top five in Class AAA to start there. You know, for me, South Charleston hasn't been tested.
No.
Outside of GW, I will say that's their best win. But you look at Capital, who's struggling offensively. St. Albans, who's struggling offensively. Yeah. Riverside is coming up. That's going to be, most think, would be a win.
Of course, Huntington pushed South Charleston a little bit, like we thought might be the case.
Yep. Huntington was, you know, they in the beginning, they played tough, but then
that's going to be a team to reckon with in the next 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
But I really like the strides they're making down there. Mm-hmm. But not to interrupt you there.
No, you're okay.
Yeah.
Huntington did play South Charleston tough in the beginning, but trade on 6 touchdowns again like he did against GW, which that kid is really having hell of a year. So I want to see South Charleston. And again, I'm not looking past Riverside because we shouldn't do that because South Charleston could lose.
And Riverside coming off a big win.
Yeah.
As we'll get to in a minute.
You never know. But I want to see South Charleston when they hopefully get a chance to play like a Midland.
Or Spring Valley.
Or Spring Valley or someone. I think that's going to be the ultimate measuring
even
stick
Hurricane.
For South Charleston. Yeah, even Hurricane. Yeah. Any of those teams that present more of a challenge offensively.
Parkersburg, yeah. One of those teams, yeah.
Right. I want to see kind of those teams and see what South Charleston does. I'm not taking anything away from what they have accomplished so far. It's been a really good year. Eyeball test tells me South Charleston is a really good football team.
Oh, I believe they're a really good football team. I don't know if I believe that they're
on number
the
one.
Same, the same level as a couple of these other teams.
Sure.
Yeah. But they may be. But like, we just don't know yet.
Yeah. We just haven't been able to see it.
Right.
And we may not get to see that until playoffs.
Yeah. So before anyone from South Charleston crams my email with more hate mail, I'm not saying they're not good. I just want to see it first.
Hey, I'm on the broadcast team. I'm walking a tightrope here, but I'm just saying
they're
gonna
I want to
see
quit
that.
Talking to me over there if I keep this up. But you know, you mentioned that top five. Wheeling Park's the exact same to me though. If you look at their schedule, there's not anything that really leaps out to you on their schedule, but they're just kind of cruising there at 6-1, and we know what kind of program they have. I mean, what are they, 4 years removed from a state title?
Right.
I think South Charleston and Wheeling Park are the wild cards, and I think the rest of that top seven right there are all capable of winning a state title, all of them.
Yeah, Spring Valley at 6, Bridgeport 7. You mentioned those the top seven just to round out that top seven. Yeah, I think every one of those, we'll talk Spring Valley, Bridgeport when we do sort of the recap of week 8. But, yeah, I mean, any of those teams. And South Charleston, I think, back to them, offensively and on defense, they have what it takes to go on a deep run in the playoffs because of that. Because they present challenges on both sides of the football. That usually breeds a team that can make some noise in the postseason. So I'm not saying that this isn't a team that could win a state title or anything of that sort. I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
I think I want to see what happens if they face a Midland or Spring Valley or someone that has been challenging to everybody else that they play.
And, you know, those two teams in particular, Bridgeport as well, they have the kind of attacks that tend to neutralize teams like South Charleston a little bit defensively. When you've got some pass rushers and some secondary guys that are really athletic but maybe a little undersized, that usually is a recipe for disaster against the Spring Valley Midland team that possess the ball, rip off 5-6 yards on the ground at a time and just beat you to death. So I'm not saying that South Charleston can't win that game. We don't know, as we said. But definitely, I think against a team that does what those two, three teams do, that's where South Charleston would really get tested and you would really find out about this team, I think.
It's a long death is what teams like Midland do. It's like 3 yards, 4 yards, and then 50 yards. You know, they break one. It's crazy.
I love it. That's the way football should be.
It is an absolute – in that game last year with Midland and South Charleston, I mean, it was an absolute war. Trey Dunn actually had two – and Coach Mays talks about it, he had cotton up his nose because he was bleeding from his nose.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a absolute war. So, be interested to see if they get a chance to play each other this year. We kind of run out of regular season games at this point, but – postseason, that could be something special. So South Charleston 1, Cabell Midland 2, Martinsburg 3, Muswin 4, and we talked about those two teams as well. Berkeley County has been in orange, I believe. I don't know where they're at.
Yeah, I have no idea. I gave up on map watching. Yeah.
But having no Martinsburg in the playoffs, potentially.
And Muswin.
What do you even say about that?
Look, this year I think it's a little different. I think Musselman, from a talent standpoint, is pretty even par with Martinsburg. I was telling somebody yesterday, you wonder how much of that when those two teams play is just mental now. I mean, you get beat by another team that long. I mean, you saw it a little bit with Bridgeport and Fairmont Senior until Senior finally broke through there a few years ago. But Martinsburg not being in this field would just feel, I don't know, empty, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you're not going to put an asterisk beside it. I don't think whoever would win it would apologize for winning it. But, man, it would feel kind of like the Eminem song, man. It just feels so empty without me, you know?
I like the Eminem reference.
Yeah. I just drank a full Red Bull, so everything upstairs is churning right now.
I love it, man.
I'm on top of it.
I love it. That's awesome. That's our first M&M reference on the podcast.
And it came from me. What were the odds? Nobody would
have Tool shirt
with a Tool t-shirt on. No one would have picked that. That was talking about your upsets. That was an upset right there.
I love
there.
It. I think I might have to insert that song right there.
There you go.
Spring Mill is at 8, Park 9. How about Parkersburg, though? Had Coach Bias on the radio show 2 weeks ago now. Just an interesting guy, a football guy, legend with Scott, the Skyhawks. And he's really doing some cool things there.
I think there's a couple tiers in this AAA field. That top seven is its own tier. And I think the tier behind that is Parkersburg, Princeton, and Hurricane. I think those three teams are the teams that, if they kind of finish in that 8 to 10 area, those are the teams against the back half of that top seven that are going to be dangerous. I mean, you know, if you're Bridgeport and you're sitting there at 7, just pretend that Bridgeport would finish 7. I mean, there's some teams that you would more like to play in the first round than Parkersburg, Hurricane, or Princeton. I think all three of those teams are dangerous. So yep. I like what Parkersburg does, especially offensively. If they catch up defensively, then you've really got something. But their offense is as good as anybody's.
Of course, they have a great history of football anyway, and that's really something that Coach Bias is trying to bring back, is that great culture, winning ways there at Parkersburg, and I think they're on their way. I think they've played extremely well. They're sitting at 5-2 and number 9 there, and you're right, man. I mean, any of those teams that you mentioned that could catch one of those teams above, I mean, I wouldn't want to play either one of those.
No. Princeton's still the team that just kind of snakes around here right now. I really like what they've done. So
Parkersburg 9, GW 10. They're sitting at 2-1. Now, GW's been battling some stuff.
A little worried about GW.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm worried that they're not going to get 4 games.
Yeah.
Which is a whole different concern.
They had to shut the school down for one day this week. I think it was Monday.
Well, and, you know, the first half against Woodrow, they kind of looked good. And then the second half, it was not nearly as good.
And they snuck one out.
Yeah, I had some pretty high expectations for GW. Nobody's had it as inconsistently this year as GW has in terms of when they're playing, you know, what that week of practice preparation looks like. They've only played 3 games. I know Capital has too. I think, are they the only two in AAA that's played few of games?
Yeah, I think they're only 2 schools.
And there's a lot of that. I mean, you get into a rhythm with the schedule of week in, week out. We got an opponent. Okay, let's prepare. Let's go. They just had no continuity at all, and it's none of their fault at all, but I don't know what to make out of them, man. I really don't.
Yeah, they're confusing, that's for sure. Yeah. And I think people underestimate how important that is to have that preparation, and really for the kids. I mean, those are the conversations that coaches with the radio show and then here on the podcast is keeping kids motivated through this. Yeah. I think that was the biggest point of emphasis for these coaches was, you know, the fundamentals and preparing for the opponent, but not knowing you're going to play, or are these guys are focused because we've only played 2 games? Everybody else is like, you know, 4, 5, 6 games in. How are we going to catch up? Is it worth playing to see? You know, all these questions kind of loom with these players, and they're young kids. I mean, that's the thing too that people forget is like they're high school kids.
And I'm sure it's hard not to get demoralized as a kid.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's the coaching job they've had to do this year. I do not envy.
Yeah. So, for nothing. I mean, it's not like these guys get paid a ton of money or anything. It's these guys do it strictly for passion.
I think our salaries are pretty interchangeable, really, aren't they? Haven't we talked about that off air?
All right, so GW10, Princeton at 11, Ripley 12. Ripley quietly also 5-2. You know, Ripley's kind of one of those teams that's kind of like, what are they?
Ripley is... I love going to Ripley to watch games, and I love the people in their program. But I mean, we talk about South Charleston not being tested.
That's what I'm saying. I think Ripley, we don't know who they are.
I mean, South Charleston's schedule is way better than Ripley's right now. And you know, Ripley and these teams that it's not a coincidence that you see these programs leading to the MSAC, and then the next year they're like suddenly a perennial playoff team.
Right?
There's a reason.
Yeah. It's kind of a tough conference.
And it's not necessarily because their program got 12 times better in between those 2 years.
Schedule got a little easier.
Yeah,
just a little bit.
But, you know, hey, you can't hate on them. They're doing what they're doing. They were in the playoffs. Yeah. So, hey.
Got to win football. Yeah. You got to win them, too.
You still got to win those games. That's right. And they're doing it. So, good for them.
John Marshall at 13. Ripley, just when you thought you were going to get South Charleston hate mail, wait until the Ripley hate mail comes through.
No, I'm just offending everybody this morning.
Hurricane at 14. Greenbrier East at 15. Then right at the bottom there, you got Morgantown and University at 16.
Boy, that'd make that Mohawk game pretty fun, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, we talked about teams only, like Capital and GW only playing three games. Well, Morgantown and University just kind of sneaking in there right at the four games that you need to make the playoffs. So,
That's fun.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
As hopefully everything stays intact.
One of the state's best rivalries right there. That would be a lot of fun if that came down to who gets in and who gets out.
Class AA, Sissonville at number one. They're 4-0. Sissonville has played some really good football.
Triple A bonus points last week. I think the only game I got right out of the whole, out of all
Greenbrier
last
East.
Week. Yeah.
60-47.
Dropped 60. That seemed like a crazy football. That was the anti-Spring Valley and Cabell Midland game right there. Although, it was really done on the ground. Like I said, Sissonville's Dylan Griffith had like a million yards and 58 touchdowns in that game or something. It was crazy. But, yeah, Sissonville is another team that is, you know, beating East on the road is a really good win. I'm not going to sit here and act like it's not. But if you look at who Fairmont's played, it's just not Bluefield even. It's not quite the same.
No. Resume-wise, not
but I definitely think Sissonville's a playoff team, and they're a borderline hosting a first-round game playoff team. And it's a good football team. I think they're clearly the second-best team in the Cardinal right now, too. So
I agree. I think that's a perfect assessment of Sissonville. What I like, though, is that normally a Sissonville team – would go to a Greenbrier East and lose.
Yeah, they've won a couple.
They've won some games that
Hoover,
normally in the
wasn't
past.
Wasn't Hoover on the road, too?
Yeah.
And that, as we've seen, I know Hoover dropped a tough one last week, which we'll talk about. But, yeah, Hoover's a pretty decent team. I thought that was a nice win for them on the road against a bitter rival, too. So
yeah.
They have. They've toughed a couple out, and you got to be impressed. I mean, Mark Wilson's one of the good guys around here, and happy for him and happy for that program.
All right, Bluefield 2, Frankfort 3, Oakland 4. Liberty, Raleigh, 5. Fairmont Senior, 6. Kaiser, 7. North Marion, 8. RCB coming at 9. Polka at 10. And I would stop at Polka because we've talked some for obvious reasons. They haven't had, you know, we talk about a Fairmont Senior, you know, kind of creeping up now, but they're at 6. But Polka's also one of those teams where you go, okay, they're at 10. 10 seed in the playoffs, but it's because of the points. And you remember they played Midland. They haven't necessarily just taken, you know, the double A slate.
And they're not doing it again this week.
Yeah, they've been challenged by this different schedule, and they've been taking on these other schools.
And
you
know, another issue with that is we talk all the time about how cool some of these matchups are, but and some of these teams, like you mentioned, Fairmont Senior's just played. I mean, their schedule is ridiculous.
It's been ridiculous.
I mean, Musselman.
And the travel. I mean, they went
Spring
down to
Valley,
Winfield.
Bridgeport, which they play Bridgeport every year anyway. That's a rivalry game. But still, I mean, Polka playing Midland. They got Hurricane this week. But at some point, I mean, we're getting into week 9. Look at these rankings. What if Hurricane beats Polka this week? Which is possible, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about Polka being on the borderline of making the postseason all of a sudden, which Wheeling Central right now is out of the postseason, which we haven't got to yet. I believe Hurricane is, too. And obviously, that's another school, you know, scheduling Musselman there and all that. Or no, they're in. Okay.
They're on the cusp,
but
I mean,
once again, if Polka beats them, I also think it's possible.
Yeah.
And some of these teams, you know, it's awesome that they're playing tough schedules, but at some point it's going to cost you, and you worry about Polka right here at 10, especially as volatile as Putnam County's been with the COVID thing. Mm-hmm. You never know when it's going to swing one way. I mean, what if they lose the Hurricane, fall out of the rankings, and that's it for them in the regular season?
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, going into week 9, you start looking at potential playoff matchups. I mean, how would you like to be Kaiser if that finished that way? Hey, welcome. Home playoff game. Got the Polka. Good luck. And I think Kaiser's a really good team, and that's a really terrible road trip.
Yeah.
But still, ain't nobody wanting to see Polka come into their building in the first round. So
yeah, that's the interesting part where you have the point system for these rankings. Of course, we didn't think we'd be in a pandemic. I mean, but and color code maps and all that stuff. But this shows sort of that effect that can happen if things like schedules don't fall through. You don't have games you can play, and you're just grabbing onto who you can grab onto. That affects your ability,
absolutely,
to get points to get yourself in postseason play. So, like you said, Polka, yeah, they're 4-1, but they're going to play Hurricane this week. That's a tough game. And, they could find themselves right outside, despite the fact that, you and I thought that this could be their year.
I mean, you just still, I mean, like I said, you just, it's hard not to look at potential matchups. Like, one more. What if you're Oak Glen?
Yeah.
Welcome in Point Pleasant first. Yeah. That's team right there. We're talking about teams that play tough schedules. There's another one, and they do every year.
Yeah.
But that team, I like Point Pleasant, man.
They're at 15, too, and that's a dangerous, I mean, that's a dangerous 15 seed.
Absolutely. So
I mean, that's the playoffs will be crazy.
Yeah, I agree.
I already expect a tie. I really feel bad for us when we have to pick these games that we do in the postseason.
Are you looking at week 9, by the way?
Week 9?
Yeah.
This is the latest rankings, yeah.
Mine shows Point Pleasant tied for 13.
This is week 8.
Yeah, you're on last week.
This was posted on the 27th. This is the latest coming out of week 8.
I think there might have been some updates, though.
Okay.
I'm looking at week 9.
Oh, okay.
Rankings, which I don't know. A lot of them are the same, though.
Those could be power rankings.
Yeah, I don't know.
This could probably be power rankings.
I've got Point Pleasant at 13, but whatever. I mean, they're in the postseason, so.
This is the SSAC.
Yeah.
As of October 27th.
That's what I'm looking at, so I don't know why yours is different than mine, but.
Weird. Maybe they updated them.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, well. We're in range.
Yeah.
But maybe they did with this crazy. But anyway, let's see. Elkins, let's see. Where were we at? Clay County 11, Elkins 12. We'll just say as of October 27th.
Yeah. See, all that's the same to me. But
Braxton 13, Independence 14, Point Pleasant 15. You said they had them at 13, so maybe they did move some things around. Mm-hmm. Liberty Harrison 16, and then right down there.
And there could have been midweek games that we didn't need.
That's true.
That
yeah,
that have affected them too. So
Hoover at 20 though. Yeah. When I look kind of in the outside, and they got a. You game just, ahead of them, too.
You just don't waltz into Moorfield and pick up a win, man. I'm telling you, that whole area, there is no easy way to get to Moorfield, East Hardy area.
That was
a
tough game
way.
For them.
And, I came up a little short there. That's a huge win for Moorfield, by the way. But
speaking of Hoover, they got this team coming up week.
Who's that?
They got Dodgers.
Ooh, oh, yeah, I saw that.
Dodgers is coming in Class A. Dodgers County, who hadn't played for 2 weeks. They're now playing again, finally. 5-0, number one in Class A. Greenbrier West, 8-0 now at number two.
Just doing what they do. Greenbrier West just keeps winning.
Keep rolling along.
Look
Tug Valley.
Look at that point differential. By
oh,
way.
Yeah.
406.
6-84. That's outstanding. I mean, even Dodgers won 60-15. I mean, they haven't had a couple, but man, West putting up points, though.
Yeah.
Tug Valley at 3-0, sitting at number three. Williamstown, St. Mary's have those two teams at number four. Midland Trail 6, East Hardy 7, Buffalo at 7. Buffalo had a
Buffalo played
the type of game that you would love
three
against
game,
Midland Trail.
3 games in 8 days. I think Poco was the first one. So you get beaten around by one of the best teams in AA. And then you turn around and you go on the road. You just hammer AA Wayne on the road, beat the mortal hell out of them. And then you go on the road to undefeated Midland Trail and win a 7-0 double overtime. Spectacular beauty of a football game that probably took 43 minutes to play. That had to be awesome. But
I immediately thought of you when I saw that.
Yeah, but you got to absolutely give Buffalo credit. That is tough to do, to beat two football teams on the road as part of a 3 games and eight-day stretch. I mean, if that happened in the NFL, you'd have players striking. And these kids went out and did it. And I don't know that Buffalo's on the same level as Doddridge County or even Wheeling Central or a couple of these teams, but man, at 5-1, their only loss is Poca, and they did some things defensively in that game that were pretty good. I'm really impressed with the job they're doing over there in Putnam County, and I think that's definitely a home in the first round playoff team right there.
Yeah, I was bragging about Buffalo on the radio show on Monday. How exactly what you said, all the games they played, they're sitting at 5-1, so. I think Buffalo has been outstanding, and
absolutely,
like you said, I think they're gonna be a team to watch when postseason play starts. Yeah. Tigers Valley at 9, Petersburg 10, Tulsa 11. How about Tulsa? Tulsa's been kind of quiet this
year. Scary team.
Yeah, they've been quiet.
They backdoor themselves into a road in the first round playoff game. I don't want to be the team that's lined up against them at home's first round. That's a scary game there.
It's just quiet, but yeah, I'm with you. They've been playing some good football. Pendleton County at 11 as well. Ritchie County 13. Clay Battelle at 14. Work County at 15. Summers County at 15. And then Riverview right outside there at 17.
Ritchie's another one.
Yeah.
That I don't want to see in the first round if I'm a home team.
So there you go. There's your, that's the October 27th SSAC.
By the way, Central 20th.
Oh, yeah, I know. Central 20th. Yeah. Which is,
who wants to see? Imagine if they get in as a 16 seed.
That's
Doddridge County's first game in the or Greenbrier West. It is that would be your state title game basically in the first round.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be crazy. I mean, all these where we said the points and stuff, and trying to schedule these teams. We talk about Doddridge County not playing for the last 2 weeks. I mean, it's, and then we're talking about potentially even Martinsburg or Muswell not being in the playoffs at all. I mean, it's just going to be going to be nuts.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be crazy.
All right, running through just some Week 8 games here, and then we'll get to Week 9.
Do some quick ones
this week. Sissonville, Greenbrier East, we mentioned that. 60-47 victory there for Sissonville.
Huge.
Talking about points.
Yeah.
And that's obviously worked out for them because they are sitting at number one. South Charleston beat Huntington 42-21. They continue to roll, especially offensively. Spring Valley and Bridgeport had Coach Dingus on the radio show Monday. 35-10 victory for Spring Valley. Ended Martinsburg 57-game win streak. Ended Bridgeport's 14-game winning streak.
Yeah, one the two longest in the state, I believe.
Yeah. So
ran into a mad Spring Valley team there. I kind of had a feeling that might happen.
And Spring Valley's just, I mean, we've been bragging about, you know, Midland and Bridgeport and, you know, obviously Martinsburg's in there and, you know, just several teams, and Spring Valley's kind of like, hey, remember us? Yeah. I mean, we had that one loss, but
yeah, we're going to be okay.
We're going to be all right.
Yeah.
St. Albans, Riverside. I thought this potentially could have been a bounce back game for St. Albans with Riverside struggling. It was at Crawford Field. It was on a Saturday at noon, I believe it was a noon contest.
Yeah.
Riverside shuts out St. Albans and wins 15-0.
And, you know, I had a feeling Riverside would play in this game. I don't think I picked them, but I thought this would be close. Riverside's shown a few signs this year. I mean, they played GW really well. I know they got blasted by Capital, but St. Albans' struggles on offense worried me for them going into that game. Huge win for Riverside, man. On the road, like you said, that's a big one.
They also played some Midland ball. I don't know, Jamie Farrell, the voice of St. Albans Red Dragons football, he told me that they played kind of a Midland offense. They had some motion and kind of just kind of pounded you with the rock.
Sounds like a pretty good adjustment by Darty over there.
So
good for him, man. Good for that program. It's big.
John Marshall, Parkersburg 54, John Marshall 14. Talking about the good job there, Coach Bias, and those that Parkersburg squad's doing there. Getting a nice win over John Marshall, an easy win there. 40-point victory. Let's see. Princeton continues their winning ways as well.
Princeton and Parkersburg win by the exact same
score. 54-14.
Those are two teams that I would group pretty close together, too. So,
good win. Just mentioned Ripley, 35-14, Chase Spring AA. Yeah. So, you were mentioning the schedule.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jefferson upsetting Washington
32-29. Jefferson has a couple big wins this year, didn't
they? And they beat University.
Are they the team that beat?
They beat University.
Which one of them beat Frankfort, too? One of those Eastern Panhandle teams did. It must not have been Jefferson, though.
It might have been Washington.
It might have been, Frankfort beat University.
I think Washington beat
Jefferson. So one of those teams, the Eastern Panhandle, again, like I said, man, they're playing some good football this year.
Let's see. University, no problem with Preston, 42-9. And then we mentioned the GW game, Woodrow Wilson, which they
hanging
stuck that
on
one
for dear life.
Frankfort and North Marion. Frankfort 36-19.
There went my Huskies.
North Marion. Yeah, you were high up on there, which is a really good, I mean, that's still a really good football squad.
Yeah.
Frankfort's just rolling.
Really good win there. And like I said, the best unis in the biz. So
Oak Hill out of Class AAA, traveling to Bluefield. We thought this could be potentially maybe a big opportunity for Bluefield, obviously, to get some points here. And we were right, 35-9. I think we both picked Bluefield to win that game last week.
Yeah.
They just continue to roll there. Kaiser, a win over Petersburg out of Class A, 62-26. Fairmont Senior, you thought they hung up 45.
And they didn't quite, I guess they took their foot off the gas in that one pretty early. They didn't quite hit 50 in the first half like I thought. But
yeah, you were going for 200, I think.
Still reasonably convincing, I would say. 45 to zip, that's pretty good.
Buffalo with a win over Wayne. That was a final from Tuesday, 42-6. Let's see, what else we got? Poca won a forfeit from Scott. Let's see.
Liberty Harrison with a little upset there.
Minor
upset, but still.
Yeah.
Some rivals right there. That one's got to feel good.
Yeah, Liberty Harrison over Lincoln.
Yep.
Let's skip right by that. 19-14 victory there. Let's see. What else we got? Chapmanville beating Nitro, 38-28. Nitro just...
Same story.
Continues to have trouble stopping people.
Yep.
Let's see what else we got. And then, of course, Hurricane Wind over there.
How about that? I don't think we did talk about that game.
Did we talk about Hurricane Wind?
No.
23-17.
That game that Winfield's leading in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
That's a 23-17. I mean, I know, look, it's been a long time since Winfield's won a game in that series, and I know that that was pretty crushing at the end. But still, I mean, you see your team that just got decked by Huntington on the road,
yeah,
and then they turn around and compete like that, have a lead in the fourth quarter. You had to be pretty proud of that one if you're Craig Snodder over there. Obviously, taking a big step in the right direction with that game.
Hats off to the Generals. And so let's run through some Class A. We mentioned Buffalo with a victory at Midland Trail.
Best score of the week.
7-0 final in two overtimes. Greenbrier West continues to roll, 41-14 over Sherman. St. Mary's defeats South Harrison, 54-6. East Hardy, 39-6. There you go.
Checking in.
Pendleton County, Gilmer County, that was a number 12 against number 15. Pendleton County getting a win there, 47-20. Tulsa again, quietly moving on, victorious, 28-12 over Mount View. Let's see if there's a couple other ones I'm missing here.
Not really anything too surprising there.
Yeah, nothing really too surprising there.
Other than the which I don't even see.
Moorefield knocking off Herbert Hoover, 24-22.
That's a huge win for Bill, by the way. Huge.
That's a nice win there for Moorefield.
Yeah, that's going to give him some points.
All right, so before we get over to Week 9, of course, we want to thank our sponsors, Tent Guy in Nitro, Oscar's Breakfast Burgers and Brews in Barbersville, and, of course, Joe Holland Chevrolet and Imports there in South Charleston. Make sure to visit all those great local establishments.
Yep.
I'm actually thinking about going up to Oscar's tomorrow with the wife.
There we go. Man, I'm on this low-carb thing. I'm trying to stay out of restaurants as much as possible. I can't do it.
That's a good thing. If you're trying to get carbs out of your life, yeah, it's restaurants
tough.
Are
it's tough.
Not where you want to be.
Yeah, it's really tough. Pretty depressed right. about it. Anyway, go ahead. This water,
that's right,
this water right. sure tastes
How's
good,
that
though.
Taste?
Well,
yeah.
It's amazing. It's everything I ever wanted in a beverage.
All right. Let's go over to Week 9. A lot of great matchups. South Charleston, Riverside. Not a good matchup.
Not one of them.
South Charleston should roll in that one. I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on that one.
No.
Let's see. Willing Park, Parkersburg South. South has just had a brutal schedule.
Yes.
And I don't think it's going to get any better
Lost
for them.
Lost a lot from last year, too. That's a tough schedule to play when they play it, too. And they had some rebuilding to do, so.
Yeah, I think Park is going to roll in that one. You got Bridgeport.
That's interesting.
It's an interesting matchup, but I don't think Bridgeport
has any
issues.
You're getting a mad Bridgeport team, too. And yeah, I don't know. I like what Huntington's doing. I think that game's reasonably close for a while, but.
I think Bridgeport rolls, especially in the second half.
Yeah.
Kaiser, number 7 out of AA, traveling to John Marshall.
I like Kaiser.
Do too. I was just about to say that. I think Kaiser beats John Marshall there.
I'm worried about John Marshall's defense.
I think Kaiser. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think if you look at what John Marshall's done defensively, and Kaiser comes in, I think they presented definitely an issue there for John Marshall. That's picking. We're going with the AA school.
Yeah. Yep.
Jefferson and Parkersburg. Jefferson coming in at 3-4. Parkersburg at 5-2.
I like Eastern Panhandle, what it's done, but Parkersburg
winning
right now, man.
I can't go with Jefferson on that one either.
Yeah.
Parkersburg at home.
Definitely a top 10 team in AAA.
I think Parkersburg rolls in that one.
Yeah.
Big one here in Putnam County. Number 10, Polk out of AA. We're talking about at the top of the show. Number 14, Hurricane in Class AAA.
Hurricane's just such a for 12 years I have never figured out Hurricane. I don't know what that team is going to do from one week to the next. I never know. I mean, any week that they play a football game, I have no idea. So I would say, like, in all those Gazette like picks we did in the paper, I would probably miss Hurricane more than 50% of the time. So I don't know. I mean, after struggling hard against Winfield last week and then just getting mowed down by Musselman the week before, I mean, who is the real Hurricane? The team that almost beat Midland or the team that barely beat Winfield? I don't know. And
I'm with you. I don't know who they are either, but I think Polka wins this game.
I do too.
I'm going Polka. I think it's just what you said. I feel like it's one of those moments where you just can't figure Hurricane out. I mean,
I do think if Polka wins, it's a shootout, though.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm not sure they can stop Hurricane. I don't know, man. I'll go back and forth on that one forever. It's vitally important to both of them, as we talked about earlier. I mean, both of them have to have this win, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, you still got a couple weeks left, but especially for Hurricanes on the borderline of the playoffs anyway. And Polka's 10th. But, you know, this would be some massive bonus points for Polka if they could win this game. I don't know, man. The more I think about it, the more I change. I don't know.
I'm going to take Polka.
Okay.
I'll just go ahead and jump. I'll pick Poca. But I'm just going to say, and I know this is crazy, we say this all the time, I wouldn't be surprised Hurricane wins, obviously, but I'm going to take Poca. I think they go in there and they make a statement and win.
I'll take Hurricane just to be different.
Okay. So I got Poca, you got Hurricane just to be different, but obviously on both sides, if one team wins, we kind of go, okay, let's...
Yeah, that one just... If you were setting a line on that one, it's minus one for sure.
All right, Greenbrier East at number 15, Princeton at number 11.
I like Princeton by 35.
Well,
I'm not kidding.
Oh, yeah, obviously, Sissonville scored 60 points.
Yeah,
Nothing against Sissonville, but you put up 60 points.
I really like this Princeton team.
I'm with you. I think Princeton rolls in this game.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Greenbrier East because they have had a decent year and they've just kind of ran into a couple teams that are rolling here, but... I do think Princeton gets the win there. Yeah. Let's move down. University Morgantown.
You're just talking about that. I didn't even realize that game was this week.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was. It's just I was hoping by the time we record this, nothing crazy happened.
How awesome is that?
COVID or something.
The Mohawk Trophy for a spot in the playoffs.
Yep.
That's awesome.
Could be one of the best games, underrated best games this week in the state, as far as the rankings wise. But this game's always awesome.
I like Morgantown by 2 touchdowns.
I'll take University.
Okay, there we go.
That way we split it. Yeah. I think you're on par with Morgantown, but I'll take University just to have the split there.
I like it.
All right. Is there anybody else? I don't think we want to.
Upset alert for Oak Hill.
Oh, okay. You think that the boys from Beckley can possibly.
I think I'm officially picking it. Woodrow Wilson over Oak Hill.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it here first.
Yeah. Check out the radio later for a crazier one, but yeah. Yeah.
Sissonville St. Albans, double A there. They originally had this scheduled for Thursday today, but they've moved it to Friday. I don't know. I guess it's due to weather. I don't know why. Because
it's supposed to rain all night.
It's supposed to rain all night, so they're afraid of,
I thought that's why they got turf fields. But
yeah, that's what I thought.
Whatever, you know.
I thought maybe it might have been lightning.
God, I miss when football was football.
But I remember, I thought it was maybe lightning.
If it's lightning, then, okay.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were doing it for.
Maybe
if it's just rain, you just get out there and play.
Yeah, maybe that is what it is.
But I thought maybe
if that's the case, I apologize. But
what is it, 30 minutes every time there's a strike?
Yeah, my God.
So, I mean, you would be out there all night.
Remember, I got to cover soccer tonight. Let's keep the rain out of here.
All the way up in Point Pleasant, too.
Game of the week next, though. By the way, who you like, Sissonville, St. Albans?
Sissonville.
Me, too.
I think they roll.
I think Sissonville plays, or St. Albans plays better. But I just, man, I don't, St. Albans' offense worries me. And I know Sissonville isn't exactly the 85 Bears as they showed last week, but they're good enough on offense to outscore some people. And then they've made stops when they've had to make, them late in that game last week, and they did it. So I like Sissonville. I like the way they're playing.
I think St. Albans obviously on defense is better than East, but I think
sure.
But I think
but they're
that
worse
there's still
offense yeah, than East.
Yeah, too, exactly. So I think that's what makes it hard for them to get a victory there in Sissonville. Tough place to play too, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's just going to be a tough game, and hey, best, St. Albans pulls it out.
Might be the best press box in the biz too, just in terms of how they treat you up there. So.
What kind of food they do up there?
Usually got Mahuston's pizza
That's
spread.
Right.
Sometimes they'll throw some pepperoni rolls up there
for
you.
Yeah,
thank God I'm not over there now because I can't eat any of that. So.
Anyway. You'd have to turn it all down.
Yeah, it's a good thing I'm not covering high school
just
football
crying.
Games anymore. It's still weigh 300 pounds instead of 295. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah.
All right, Oakland and Frankfort. That's number 3 against number 4.
That's game of the week right
game
there.
Of the week.
Any class.
5-1 against Evan and 1.
Go ahead.
I know you're going Oakland.
I'm in a tough spot here, and I'll tell you why, because I picked North Marion last week to beat Frankfort.
You love Frankfort.
And Frankfort just threw a 17-point win down on them. If I pick Frankfort, it's overreaction. If I pick Oak Glen, then all of a sudden I hate Frankfort. So I think you're picking Frankfort.
I am going with Frankfort.
Yeah.
I just think at home, they're rolling. Oak Glen, obviously, they're a great
football team.
Terrific
football game, by the way. I mean, this is awesome right here. This is another one of those that we talk about. You wouldn't see this in a normal regular season. I'll take Oak Glen. This
will
be different. I like
Oak
Glen offense.
Yeah.
I still think Frankfort, I don't know. That's another minus one game to me. But
yeah, I agree.
I'll just take Oak Glen for the hell of it.
All right, there we go. Moving down, Fairmont Senior and Elkins.
Another 35-point win.
Yeah, I think Senior rolls in that one. No issues there. Again, Senior is just going to be one of those really dangerous teams.
Yeah.
Come postseason.
I think they're beyond. I had to pick one in double A, but.
RCB and North Marion. We've talked about how improved RCB is. North Marion, though, going to be playing a little angry. just a little bit.
I would have to imagine. But, you know, Bird's done some really good things, and I know they've lost two. I think their two losses are Bridgeport and Fairmont Senior.
Yeah, they've had some tough games. But, and they actually played Fairmont Senior all right.
Yeah, I'm gonna ride this North Marion train into the dirt here, even after last week. So, yeah, at home, I think North Marion comes out a little peeved, and they win this game.
I'm picking North Marion as well.
Yeah.
I, as much as I think RCB has been playing well.
Close game, though.
I think it is a close game, but I do think North Marion wins.
Yeah.
Moving down, Winfield and Point Pleasant. Winfield yet to win a game. Again, just another tough game for Winfield. I mean, you talk about brutal schedules.
That's my Point Pleasant team right there, too.
And you got to go out to Point. Yeah. I mean, I, as much as I'm rooting for Winfield to hopefully get a win before the end of the year, I don't think they find it here against Point Pleasant.
I think Point Pleasant's scary. Yeah, I think I said it twice. That's how scary I think they are.
Scary.
Yeah, not just scary, but really scary. I think Point wins here. I think Winfield plays pretty well for a half, two and a half quarters, but too much Point in the end.
Nitro Logan, the battle of the teams, still trying to find a win. They're both 0-4. It's at Logan, so this is a nice trip.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards Logan just because Nitro can't stop anybody.
I'll take Nitro.
Okay. I'm just leaning towards just because of defense. I know Nitro. This could be a game where Nitro.
I like Nitro's offense. Yeah, I think it's a high scoring. We'd really start keeping score on our different predictions.
More.
We'll remember all of them for sure.
I'll just say I picked them.
Yeah, there you go. I picked them. Remember? All of a sudden the podcast is deleted. I don't know. I can't find it.
Now remember, Logan did play man earlier.
They did,
and they lost 44-6.
They did.
So.
I like Nitro. Nitro's played in this game. I mean, they've played a pretty tough schedule. I know Chapmanville, but Chapmanville didn't they beat Logan too?
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay.
But Nitro, the thing about Nitro is penalties too. They've killed themselves all year with penalties. I mean, there was a couple score opportunities, even the first game against St. Albans that could have went their way, but they did some stupid stuff. Yeah. So, but like you said, I mean, defense, offense, I mean, it's kind of a toss-up game. I'll just take Logan.
Okay.
I think at home, I like Logan, but I wouldn't be surprised if Nitro pulls it out. But, hey, at the end of the day, one of these teams gets their first win of the season.
Absolutely.
All right, Class A, Herbert Hoover out of AA, sitting at 2-2, traveling to Doddridge County.
What do you think
finally
about
out of that COVID prison.
What do you think about this, man? This game, to me, just screams of the perfect recipe for an upset.
I agree. I think the way Joey Fields, I mean, it always starts there with Coach Fields. He does such a great job preparing. And I think I saw that they posted that they were having a team meal for their seniors yesterday on their Facebook page. I love, if you get a chance, and coaches do this, but follow Hoover's Facebook page and their Twitter page, because it's just really cool, because you really feel like it's a family.
Yeah.
With that program, and they do some cool stuff, and I think that breeds a lot of success with guys when you really feel like you guys are brothers. You know, it's a brotherhood there. You're going to play for each other. I think Coach Olds does a good job of that. But this travel, Dodgers County should be rusty, wouldn't you think? That we played in 2 weeks.
Yeah, where is that borderline between rusted and rusty?
That's
Paul?
What I'm saying. That's a part of that upset. Like, do they come out rested and they're rolling, or do they come out rusty and they give Hoover a lot of opportunities? I'll go upset. I'll call Hoover, even though I'm a big Dodgers County guy.
I know that's your Bulldogs. Right,
I'll go with Hoover just to say, hey, that's my upset. Well, you had an upset, didn't you? What was the other upset you had?
I had Woodrow over Oak Glen.
Yeah.
Oak Hill.
Oak Hill, which is still, I mean, that's a upset too.
Yeah. I thought about it. I don't know. I think.
Hoover did not. They had.
They just lost to single A Moorfield, who I think is a pretty good team, but
they're not Dodgers County.
They're not Dodgers County. I think Dodgers wins this game. I think it's really close. Really,
I'll say
really
Dodgers
close.
County. I think wins it, but I'm picking upset just for fun.
Okay, I like it.
Like, I think Dodgers County should win this game, but
yes.
I think to have fun with it, I'll pick Hoover.
I think
as an
it's
upset.
A really close game. Really close.
I do too.
Just like last week. I mean, Moorfield and Hoover was really close. I think Hoover does some things that Class A teams don't see a lot, particularly throw it.
Yep.
So we'll see. Should be a good one, though.
Greenbrier West, your West team against Midland Trail. This is number 2 against number 6. I think West has no issues.
Be careful. Right here. It's a close game.
Real
close. I think Midland Trail is the best team Greenbrier West has played.
I agree with that, but I think West, I think I like West.
I think West wins the game. I just think it's tight for a while. And if they, I don't think this score gets any more than 14.
Okay.
So
I like it.
Yeah.
This is a very important game for William Central. William Central sitting at 4-3, right outside the playoff picture, and this really could do some things for them.
Now comes the part where we figure out what Wheeling Central is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'll go Central on this. I'll call upset again on this.
I like Central here, too, just because they have to have it.
Yeah.
I think Williamstown's a really good program. Yep. They meet again in the postseason. I'm not sure I'd go this way.
Yeah, but I'm the same way.
But at home, backs to the wall with that program, I think Wheeling Central gets this win, too.
I'm with it. Let's see. Another one, too, important. We've got Ritchie County and Gilmer County. Gilmer County sitting at 4-3. I do have to go to Ritchie County.
I think Ritchie has no problems right here. I do. I like the Rebels there. I think they win this game pretty handily.
And then finally, we do have Mann playing Logan. Logan's playing their second game. Mann's going to play their second game this week against Chapmanville at a AA. Both teams 2-3. I'm going to go Hillbillies.
I like Mann here.
I'll go Hillbillies.
I like him kind of big, actually. I'll tell you, we missed one, though. How about this?
Okay.
0-8 Ravenswood at 0-8 Webster County.
Oh, yeah. I didn't. How about that? That's good to buy that one.
Yes. I mean, we were talking about, 0-4 Nitro versus, and who were they?
Logan.
Logan, yeah. This one's even doubly as fun.
I'll go, Red Devils?
Yes.
I'll go with Red Devils.
Oh, man, no way. I like Ravenswood, and I love the people in that program, but, I always spend a few days in beautiful Webster Springs every year. You just don't waltz into Webster County and come out of there with a win. I'll take the Highlanders in that one.
All right. So we got a couple games where we split. We picked different teams. We'll have to keep an eye out this week. All the games throughout Friday night. And should be fun, man. We're getting close to the postseason play. And that'll be interesting as well because the collar code stuff will be in play with that, as we've mentioned. So the parody will continue along the way into postseason play. That does it for us this week. Again, thank you to our sponsors, Tink Guy Nitro, Oscar's Breakfast Burgers and Brews in Barbersville, and Joe Holland Chevrolet and Imports in South Charleston. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
This episode's been brought to you by the Tint Guy and Nitro. Make sure to stop by the Tint Guy. Tell them the podcast sent you. They'll throw in a windshield strip with any tint job, quarter mile from the St. Albans Nitro Bridge, and Oscar's Breakfast Burgers and Brews in Barbersville. Best beers, best food, best music, best environment. And plus, they brought back that Sunday brunch. They got some new burgers on the menu. Make sure to check out Oscar's Breakfast Burgers and Brews. And if you're looking for the best deal on a car, truck, SUV, head down to South Charleston and see my guy, Joey Holland. Joe Holland in South Charleston.